righty. Mansoor, you ready?
Yellow.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go! Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to another episode of the Anti-Shuffle Podcast. I'm pretty excited about this one. I'm really stoked. We have another wonderful guest on this episode. Unfortunately, Mansoor, I know Mansoor internally is stoked, but he's feeling a little bit under the weather. Mansoor, tell us, how are you feeling today?
Yeah, I'm a victim of the English weather, but it's all good. I'm having a good time. I'm excited about this episode. So, let's do this, man.
All right, cool. All right, so today's guest, I don't think needs much of an introduction, honestly. Like, he's been going ape as in the scene, like collaborating with so many artists, working on so many different projects. He's very talented, very well known. He's probably, to me, I feel like he's probably one of the hardest working people in the scene, one of the hardest working artists in the scene. And I'm really happy that he's here with us to, you know, tell us a little bit about himself, about his upcoming projects, current projects, and tell us a little bit of his story. Ladies and gentlemen.
One of the most talented, Abdullah, right?
Yeah, obviously he's one of the most talented. I mean, we're going to get to that. I'm gonna do the typical thing of saying top three, top four, top two. Like, you're going to see that's going to happen for sure during this scene. But people, put your hands together, strum your guitars, play those high vocals and amazing vocals with Abzi.
I'm already blushing. Hold on.
Yo, what's up?
You guys made me blush already. What the hell?
Welcome to the show, Abzi, man.
Yo, what's up? How's it going?
Welcome to the show, Abzi, man. We're glad to have you on, man.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of, you're like, since we started this podcast, we've said, like, yeah, we need to have guests on the show, but let's start off by doing a couple of episodes where we get our footings. And then we had like this list on the side, and you're like in the top like three names that we've had on the list of saying, you know, these are definitely the artists we need to start having on a show and interviewing and talk to, because like I mentioned, you've got a lot of experience and you've been making the rounds and you're one of the hardest working people in the scene. So it's always interesting for us to get the perspective of the independent working artist during these shows. So thank you for being here, Abzi.
Hell yeah, dude. Thank you for having me.
How would you prefer to say your name? Abzi, right?
Well, dude, whatever works and whatever is easier for the people, you know?
All right.
Overall, my name is Abbas, and I use Abzi for people who can't say the Ain, you know, instead of Abzi. Yeah. And that's where it comes from. Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Let's do an introduction. You know, I went into this assuming that everybody know. I mean, people, most likely people that are listening to this, or the five people that are listening to this podcast, already know who you are. But let's just, in case they don't, just, you know, tell us a little bit about who you are.
First of all, whoever's listening to this, you guys are amazing and you are the coolest because, you know, welcome to the cool club. Nice. What's it called? My name is Abbas. I'm 34. Been doing like that kind of music since 2006. My first band was called Black 13 Angels, and then I had a couple of bands, and then I've done things here and there until I joined a band called Wazin. And after Wazin, I have Srai. And after Srai, like, along with all of that stuff, I've been doing like my solo stuff. I do whatever I feel like right for me, you know what I mean? I enjoy all kind of music. Mostly heavy music is my cup of tea. But yeah, I do listen to everything except Shaylat, because it's like a virus to my ears. I think that's what I have. What I have in mind.
You're based on the part, right?
But you left out the part where you say that you're a streamer, you're a content creator.
I forget about that, you know? Yeah, I do stream. I play video games and make music live on stream, actually. And
nice.
Sorry, Mansoor, you were asking?
You're based out of Kuwait, right? That's where you're
from. I am based in Kuwait, yeah.
Cool.
But before we get into the stuff that you're into and what you've been doing, your multiple projects, the, you know, working with Dusk and touring with them and the streaming and the video gaming, you know, this is a music focused podcast at the end of the day. So we always like to kick it off by asking what you've been listening to lately. What's been digging into your ear holes? What's been kind of inspiring you and getting you going?
You know, what's funny, like what I listen to is, I don't know if it's inspiration on my music, but somehow it is. It's like I'm not making the same style of what I'm listening, but in the same time, because of that, I'm making this. You know what I mean? It's that sure. kind of a vibe. Yeah, I've been listening to a new band called Old the Flame. The vocalist is Johnny Craig. He used to be in a band called Slaves. He used to be in a band called Imarosa back then.
Imarosa, yeah, I love Imarosa,
yeah,
man.
Exactly. Yeah, the Johnny Craig guy, he's doing this new band called Old Flame. Been listening to Holy Water. This band is like, it was very interesting. It felt like something new to me, and I really enjoyed listening to that.
What do they sound like? What's Holy Water sound like?
I don't know, to be honest. I can't compare them to anything, but let's say in general.
I think I know. They just released a new record, right? It's like
exactly.
Like the cover looks. It's. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know this band. Mm. They're very popular, actually. They're very well known.
Yeah.
Interesting music for sure.
Yeah, yeah. They released an EP with 3 songs, and they're both like very interesting. Like other than that. Been listening to a lot of local music, actually. The local music been you know, like pushing me, like to see great talent here and there. It's making me want to create and make more and more and more, and it's especially in Kuwait, you know, like because back then I thought we didn't have enough going on, but now me realizing that there is a lot of bands are you know, making music and coming up with the new talents and stuff, you know. It was really nice seeing that.
Like the scene, like I remember 2 years ago, or like I don't remember, like a year ago when I first started releasing music, I don't know who, I think I was talking to Unmuted. He was like kind of, I think he had me on the podcast or something, and I remember saying like at that point you guys just released a single as well. And I remember saying like, yeah, like at this point, the scene, you know, you can't get away with just putting out anything and expecting people to kind of say, oh man, that's amazing. You're doing such a great job or whatever. Like it's getting so interesting now and people are releasing so much stuff and good music that, yeah, it's getting competitive and it's inspiring. Like you said, it pushes you to do more, you know?
It is. And the cool part, like everyone is doing different stuff, but still it's very interesting and it's very inspiring. I'm loving that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Any standout from the local scene right now that you've been enjoying?
Yeah, actually, two of them. A band called Toe and a band called Lumina. I feel like those
from the Kuwait,
are the
from
ones
Kuwait,
that
right? They're both in the Kuwait scene.
From Kuwait, yeah. Both are from Kuwait. I feel like these two are like the ones who I feel like related to musically, you know?
Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So, tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days in terms of what's the latest release that you had? You've had so many releases. You've had so many collaborations. Yeah. I know you did a collaboration with Toe, I think recently, or was it Cordo? Like the singer, I think, from Toe.
The same guy, the same guy.
It's the same guy, right? So you've had, exactly. And then there's also a collaboration that you had with Deadleaf. Not out yet? Is it out or not?
It is. He helped me out with, in the same song, Paranoia. So Kodos, he did vocals in the second part, and Deadleaf helped co-producing, which is he did the breakdowns, and that it was a fun experience. And we have more stuff happening and working on together here and there. So it's good to have the locals, different artists to, you know, participate in different projects. I'm always down to that collaborate, you know, it's fun. It's always fun.
Yeah. I mean, like as you're talking right now, I'm just remembering all the collaborations that you're doing. So you also had some, you had a couple of songs or one song, sorry. You had one song with Taifi, I think.
Yeah, two songs with Taifi.
Two songs. Okay, yeah, yeah. Two songs with Taifi. Obviously, you had recently Ana Nahn released an album as well that where you had like the last song or the last song on that album, I think, is a song featuring you as well. So you've went through all these, the projects that you're working on. How do you make time for all that stuff? So do you have like a schedule or something, or do you have like a Google calendar where you have like, okay, yeah, so I'm going to work on my content at this time from this time, and then I'm going to produce my own solo stuff, and then I'm going to work on my Saraya stuff, and then I'm going to like, what's happening there? Like, how's your day look like?
Fair enough. Yeah, I actually do plan the whole thing. Like, if I have a featuring, I put priority for the featuring to finish it and get the work done for that person. And then my solo stuff, it's like, you know, it's my comfort zone. Whenever I'm feeling it, I do it, you know. The Wazin stuff and the Sarai stuff, they're like, I do my part and send it, and they have to do their thing and finish with it. You know what I mean? So usually that's how it is. Very flexible and very easy.
And when you collaborate, do you usually just provide vocals, or do you also do guitar work and other stuff?
Whatever has been whatever the artist is asking me to do, I'm down to do anything. But mostly vocals.
Mostly vocals.
So you've worked on the projects that you're in, the bands that you're in. So you're in Wazin, which is a multi-region band, right? So it's you're in Kuwait. I think the guitarist is also in Kuwait. There's another guitarist, Hamandi, is also in Bahrain.
Yes.
Different, like, international kind of band, right? You guys are collaborating over Zoom or overseas or whatever, virtually. And then you have your own project, Wazin. Sarai, which is local. Sorry. You know, you guys are all there together. You've also collaborated with Dusk Virtual. So my question is, do you prefer one method of collaborating over another, or you've done this so long, like you've done it so much that at this point you don't care? Like, I don't care whether collaborating virtually or being in the same city and being with the same band together in the same room.
To be honest, at this point, I feel like it doesn't matter anymore. You know, like if it's happening, it's happening. Either it's if it's locally or out of the place. If I get a guy who wants to, you know, do some music in the US and wants to do a tour and stuff, I'm down to do that. Like when it comes to that, I like I'm like, okay, screw my whole life, I'm doing that, you know.
Yeah,
I like taking adventures.
Yeah, but I get the sense
recently.
Go ahead, Nasser.
Sorry, guys, there's a bit like of a delay, so don't mind that.
Yeah.
But in terms of like you saying you like to travel and collaborate, we recently saw you play with Dusk in Saudi. So I was wondering, do you often like tour and travel and play in different places?
At the moment, not really. Like I've been doing that with Dusk. Like before I did, Dubai show a couple of times back in the years, but that stopped for a very long time until Dusk happened. And yeah, like doing that with Dusk recently was a fun experience, you know, to see the scene in Saudi, to see the scene in Qatar, Bahrain, Dubai as well. Traveling is not easy, especially if we were doing it like it was almost every weekend. It was a bit exhausting. In the same time, it was very, very exciting. And that experience was crazy. Last year was one of the best years, even though I was going through a very hard time. I was going through mental health issues. I was going through with physical health issues, but I was pushing myself all the way to make it happen, and I did, and I felt very proud and happy of the achievements, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not every musician from this region gets to say, "Oh, I got to tour," you know. I went with the band and I got to tour, right? So it's a great experience, and is there anything that you've learned from the, like, you know, I want you to assume that, you know, someone who's listening to this podcast right now is like, you know, wants to start a band, and they're starting a band and things like that, and they're excited about, you know, going to tour, like whether it is locally, regionally, or like, you know, regionally, so locally or regionally. What advice would you give them about touring, you know, what, in terms of, especially something that's relevant to us, you know, like, you know, it's not very common here, you know, واحد في أمريكا or in Europe, you know, like, yeah, the facilities made there may be maybe easier and makes them, you know, makes it easier for them to tour, although it's still hard. But, you know, what would you, advice would you give someone who's trying to do this here in Saudi or in the GCC region?
I think my advice be like, take it more serious. If you take it more serious, it's going to happen no matter what. Just believe in it and take it more serious. Because usually, like, this is what I went through with bands before and band members and stuff. They want to do it, but they're not really serious about it. You know, like, if you are willing to give it all the way, like, give it your all, you're gonna like, the sky is your limit. You're gonna go all the way up. So take it serious and be like passionate about it and plan it and like put yourself out there, get to know people. Like, it's gonna happen no matter what. But if you are in your room and you're just jamming and making music between you and yourself, that's it, in your own zone and your own bubble, no one will hear anything about you. No one will know anything about you. That's why, like, the most, I would say the most struggle that musicians deal with locally is putting themselves out there and pushing their music and promoting it. And, you know, like, you literally need to shove it in the people's face. Be like, yo, this is my track, listen to it. But be creative about it. Be very interesting when you deliver it. Don't be boring, because people get bored easily, you know? If you do all of that, if you plan the whole thing, it's going to happen no matter what. Just set your mind to it.
Well, let me ask you, what's the best way to promote yourself? What worked for you?
Bro, the cringiest things that works. We live in a cringy world now. I swear to God. Yani, I'm like 34 years old, okay? I'm doing what 16 years old do just to promote my music, and it's working out. Yani, one of the things
like
that I haven't...
Like that?
100%. Bro, if you get lucky on one video on TikTok, you're big. Khalas. You know, I don't know how does that work, but it does work. Like, what you have to do is just ignore what people are going to think about the things you're doing. Just do it. Be as cringy as you want. And try to be different. You know, like, you need a clickbait. You need to bait people to it. And that's all. Like, one of the things, you know, I've been doing, like, I'm recording covers. For example, I'm not a huge fan of covers. I don't like doing covers. I like doing original music. So when people ask me to do covers, I do the covers that I feel like, okay, I can relate to it, and I like the song. So when I do it, I mix, master, record, and everything, and then video, lighting, video editing, and all of that. Okay, sorry. So with all of that, I'm posting the video on TikTok. I get 100 views. But when you record on your phone, a silly... stupid video, it gets like 10k and whatever, you know. It's crazy. It's crazy how the algorithm works, you know.
Like, what's the thing that you recorded that made you go like, oh, I can't believe I did that?
Which one was it? I have one of those videos where I'm like standing in a bridge in Kuwait here in a landscape view. And I'm like, I made my girl record me with the video, and like we decided how it's going to go. But I wrote on the video, people don't know that I made this song and my song is playing, you know. And I'm like,
That's like a popular kind of content, I think, saying,
exactly.
You know, people don't know that this music is mine. Or what's the other one? This is what I. Band from country X sounds like, or something like that. Yes. You know,
There's a lot of them. A lot of them, but they work, dude. They work. It's funny, but yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna do it. If it's gonna help.
Did you see that meme of like? There's a meme that's going around of like for musicians where it's like, realizing that no, as a musician, you have to also be a content creator. And it's like a guy like getting upset. And do you hate that?
Yeah.
Do you hate the fact that you have to be a content creator in order to succeed as a musician as well? Or do you love it? Or it's something that, or you're like, whatever. It's something that I have to do at this stage.
To be honest, I feel like I am a content creator because like since I was a kid, I loved putting on videos and creating things online, you know, since the MySpace days or Facebook days or whatever, been putting out content here and there, but there is a phase in life where you're like, why do I have to do this? Why can't it be like just the way it should be, you know? But lately, because I'm streaming a lot, I'm doing videos a lot, it doesn't matter. I feel like it's fine, you know, it is what it is. That's what's working out. And maybe, you know, maybe I will gain new audience and I will inspire those audience. So I'm like, yeah, screw it. I'm just going to keep doing it. But yeah, for some people, it's not. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I don't think everybody's comfortable with being a content creator, getting in front of a camera and shooting themselves, you know, saying a bunch of stuff. I mean, I try to do it from time to time on my account where I shoot like videos of myself playing music or something like that. Mm. But yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy to think about content and shooting it and then being comfortable with like putting it out. And it is fun. I mean, I enjoy the editing process and, you know, setting up the cameras and all of that. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. But I don't know, sometimes I just think about it and I go like, Yachi, you know, I just want to be a musician or I just want to put out music and I want people to enjoy my music.
Yeah.
Do I really have to be a content creator as well? Do I have to go do all this other stuff and act cute in front of a camera and do these things in order to just get people to follow me? And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But that's what that's the age that we're living in right now. You have to be kind
of a content
creator. It is
the hustle and the struggle, you know. It's a toxic relationship in between both, you know.
You obviously also have like a full-time job, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Mansoor.
Do you find you have to create content that is not necessarily related to your music, something that kind of supplements your music? And you know what I mean? Just to keep your accounts active and to get, you know, keep your followers engaged and things like that?
Doing that exactly, I think it's a bad idea, you know? Because again, the main goal is to promote what I'm doing or what I have. I'm against that kind of distraction, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I see that a lot of musicians do that. They have like humorous content, they push kind of humorous content and things like that is kind of music related, but not really.
But if you think about it,
it's not music, their music.
If you think about it, that's kind of smart. I bet those people, they have a plan. They want to gain all that followers or that people to present to those people their content and their music later on, you know, because I've seen people do that. Like they started with making funny content and they're like, yo, by the way, we have music. And when all of those followers heard their music went viral on Spotify and all that platforms, you know?
Yeah. But that's not your style.
For me, not really. I don't want to do that. I want to focus on making the cringy videos related to my music. And that's all I can do for now.
But isn't like making streaming, gaming and stuff like that, isn't that kind of like supplementing it with like different type of content?
For me, what I do in the streaming, I usually start with making music and then for two hours or 2 hours and a half and then switch for video games. And I'm doing that idea with the video game as well. And it's working out. I'm grabbing video games audience and music audience and putting them together and it's working perfectly. You know,
as we like to say here on the podcast, Abzi, I don't know if you've watched any of your previous episode, but there's a Venn diagram of gamers and music lovers. And gamers, a lot of, like, if you, Doom is, I think, one of the main like it brought a lot of people into the metal scene. I think the Doom Definitely. Soundtrack and Doom music, Definitely. Right? Like it's so amazing yeah. and so heavy that like I think yep. and obviously Guitar Hero and rock, but that's like ages ago. I don't know if that hey. Stuff is relevant anymore. But yeah. but yeah, I mean, it's an interesting conversation because I've been noticing this a lot. You know, there's like this segment of content creators that are also musicians that are trying to succeed as musicians as well. And mm-hmm. I feel like it's not working that well or as well as they'd like it for it to work. So I'll use a couple of examples here. So someone, you know, it's like you said, you know, you could start off saying, you know what, I have a plan. I'm going to eventually release my music and I want people to know me and love me for my music. But I'm going to start off by doing this type of content first to get followers and get people to like me. So recent, I don't know why, but the person that comes to mind right now is Rabi, I forgot his last name, but he's the guitar influencer. He does a lot of like, he's sponsored by Universal Audio, sponsored by Neural DSP. Yeah, he basically has a lot of YouTube guitar content and Instagram. Oh, okay.
The guy with the afro hair, yeah?
Yes, oh, yeah, with yeah. the afro hair. Yeah. He has yeah. signature guitars. He has like, he's very well known. Mm-hmm. He's recently started a band. I'm not sure how that band is doing, but he's like a touring musician. He went and toured with, what's the name of that famous British rapper? Stormzy. He went and he toured with Stormzy as his guitarist. So he's okay. like talented and he's very good. But all he does on his YouTube account is demo gear. Like anytime like Universal Audio releases a new pedal, he's sitting there demoing it. And lately, like you watch his content and you feel like he's sick of it. You just watch him and you feel like, oh God, I have to do this now. And he doesn't say it, but it's like,
he's not enjoying it.
You can see it,
it
yeah, in his eyes. You can see it and he's doing it because he has to do it now. But he'd rather probably do the music stuff. Mm. And his band, I don't know. Like, it's not that great. I listened to it and it's pretty average. And I don't think it's that popular. And I don't think people go to him for that content because خلاص, they got used to him to that. Another example is have you seen that crazy drummer, the influencer that's really good? Like, he has a beard and.
Oh, yeah.
He does like weird, like amazing double kick kind of stuff with one foot. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Guy as well, very well known for his drumming, like craziness and antics, right? Millions and millions of followers on Instagram. Started a band as well. Go on the band's account. Like, not a lot of followers. Like, it's...
I've heard their single, their first single.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, you have to be careful. Like, not a lot of people get out of that hole, right? Like, if you put yourself in that hole of becoming a popular for a certain shtick or for a certain something.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember who else... Yani, I mean, Tosin Abbasi is someone who started off as a musician, became an influencer as a musician. And that's why like people go to him for his music and being an influencer, but not in that order, not as a content creator. And that's why like he's a, you know, succeeding as a musician.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't work out with like everyone, you know, like, I know what you mean exactly. Like, for example, for those guys you mentioned, I feel like if their bands worked on their delivering, especially in nowadays, how everything is quick on social media, you know, if you make a good content and good videos, visuals and videos works perfectly for promoting and stuff. If maybe they work on that, they could like gain what they're aiming for, you know. But some people get very lucky with it, which is Tosin. Tosin is a crazy guitarist, and the band itself, it's a crazy band. Like, that sound, like, I don't think you would hear with any other bands, you know? Like, still, there's no band sound like Animal as Leaders, you know? I feel like that's how it is. It's not easy. It's not easy anymore. It's not like before, you know what I mean? The good bands are easy to find. Slipknot, Limp Bizkit, there. And now there is insane amount of talent. Yeah, insane amount of talent. You either shine or drown. That's it. So that's why you have to do your best. That's what you need to do. Yeah.
I have a question. Like, you keep, you know, it, maybe this is... something that I'm noticing with many musicians these days, you're in terms of your solo work, at least you're releasing singles, you know, and not albums. Do you feel like people are more engaged with the singles format than the albums, or is this something that, you know, that was, you know, unconscious of you? What is it? Why did you decide to do this?
100%. The singles are the best choice to do nowadays. You know, like, imagine if you're putting a single every 2 months, you know, like every 2 months, a new single. You as an artist, you're active. You keep promoting, you keep gaining more people. And especially if each single sounds different than the other. For example, Mansoor, you will like this single. Abdullah would like the other one. So that's how you gain more and more and more and more. I feel like that's the best way. And again, now we live in a fast lifestyle, in a quick lifestyle. If the album is not interesting, people wouldn't give it time, you know. They wouldn't. So I think, yeah, that's putting out singles is the best way. I'm saying that, and I'm putting an album on December. It's just a bunch of songs that I want to get rid of. That's why I'm doing the album. But in 2025, I'm putting singles all the way.
Yeah,
it's interesting. The album format will go away eventually, and people will just keep releasing singles in this fast-paced, social media-driven world.
Yeah, I believe so. Because now, if like we don't hear a lot of successful albums, like it has to be crazy good to hear about it. But singles, you will hear like this song is hit, is a hit. This song and this song and this song over and over and over. You will hear a lot of hits in 1 year, you know. But you barely hear a hit album in 1 year. That's very like, yeah. Especially now with the crazy talent in the world, you know, like you're going against crazy talented people, you know, like surprising. Yeah. Like some stuff you listen to and you'll think like a human can actually make that, you know. It's how crazy it is nowadays.
Yeah. I think it's you know, as someone who enjoys buying just albums and listening to albums, like you know, I listen to albums, like, and I went on one of my favorite artists, I'm always looking forward to the next album. But at the same time, you know, sometimes I listen to a record that they were released and I'll be like, man, you know, maybe they could have just released like four singles or something like that. Yeah. Put their efforts into writing really four really good songs, you know, that will make me come to the album again and again and listen to it, or EP or whatever it is, you know. But yeah, like this thing about, yeah, being hyper-focused on releasing a 10, 12 song album where like three of them are good and the rest of it is just filler or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's and it's something I hate saying as someone who loves albums. Like we were just talking, Mansoor and I, in the last episode, you know, like High and Fire released a fantastic album recently. Mm-hmm. It's like really good from back to end, you know. So like a band like that, you know, if they release singles, I don't know if I would have been as satisfied, you know. Or Nails, you know, for example, they just released a great 15-minute album or 17-minute album, but it's great, you know. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, it's interesting. And Pete, that's what I keep hearing in the singles. Singles is the way to go. Singles is the way to go. And it makes sense that people are more likely to go and listen to go to your page and listen to your singles. But artists are still releasing albums. The pop artists, the hip hop artists, everybody's still releasing albums. So I'm not sure what's going on there.
I feel like those people who's making albums are people who have like, you know, who are big enough to release an album and make money out of it. I feel like that's how it should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But, yeah, I guess if you're like big enough, and you know, if you're a big name, household name, then yeah. And is it something as well that people do in order to fill, you know, like if you're a big name, then yeah, you're expected to go on tour and probably like perform a whole bunch of songs. And you know, if you've been releasing singles and you're what, you know, it's, I don't know, it's interesting. It's interesting. And people still stuck in their old way, I guess. And they want to, they want albums, I guess, or they want you to release albums, you know? So, tell us a little bit about, the tour with Dusk. You mentioned it earlier, that was really interesting, going from one country to another, coming here and playing and seeing the talent and things like that. What is it maybe يمكن سؤال محرج شويه, بس like what was it like your experience dealing with the different venues around the region, you know, which ones you felt like are impressed you the most, that you liked the most, which ones that you liked the most?
I have the best answer to this, you know.
Okay.
So basically we started with Dubai. We started with Dubai and then Jeddah and then Qatar, I think. And then Bahrain and then Riyadh. I think the best audience and the best shows were in Saudi. As an audience, as an experience. Yeah, 100%. And believe
in
it
Jeddah,
or not.
Right? That's the one you performed in.
Yeah, we did the Jeddah in Makan. It was amazing. Like, people were sober.
I remember that show.
Yeah, dude. Like, okay, usually in Bahrain, Qatar, Dubai, usually they happen in a club or in a bar, like kind of a venue, yeah? And people are not sober in that places. But the energy that we received from Jeddah and from Riyadh, people are sober. People are, يعني, you can tell and you can feel the amazing energy from the sober people, you know? How they're thirsty for the energy, for the music. They're coming to enjoy the music so bad. Like, you give and you receive back. So far it's the best shows I've done in Saudi.
Yeah. Wow, okay, yeah. So that Makan, by the way, is the venue that's in Jeddah. They usually host a lot of different artists, and you know, from time to time they'll do underground, like they'll bring underground bands like, you know, Dusk and Abzi to perform there, and you know, bands like Wolfram or Mansour, our co-host here, he performed there at Makan multiple times. So yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool to hear. It's especially nice to hear as well, knowing that, you know, in Saudi, we haven't been doing this a lot. And maybe that's why. Maybe people are just really hungry for live shows and seeing 100%. Local bands and small independent artists and people that are, you know, have a lot of energy, aggressive music, you know, like it's not been played live a lot, you know. So, yeah, obviously, I can imagine, like, the energy was pretty... Unfortunately, I was too busy taking a video. I don't know if you remember that day, but
I do.
But yeah, it was a good
day
show.
Was amazing, really. Even like meeting people there was really fun. It was a new place for me, you know. Like, this is my first time going to Saudi, actually, in Jeddah. And
Did you feel like a lot of people that you didn't know like came up to you and said, "Oh, Abzi, I want to take a picture with you," or "Oh, it's great to meet you."
Yeah,
like people that you didn't know, like obviously other than people from the scene. Yeah,
exactly. It was crazy. Like I remember I took a lot of photos and I'm like, "Wow, that feels good. I like it." You know,
interesting. That's really cool. You know, that happened to me once, and I was like really surprised by it. I was like, "Whoa!" I mean, I was in Syrup, so that it was, I think. I don't remember which show it was, but it was one of the shows. I think it was Dusk. No, sorry, not Dusk. It was why do I keep saying wrong names? It was Moja and I can't remember the other bands that were playing that night. But and him, like, at some point I was like packing my stuff, and then a guy came up to me and he was like, "Hey, you're Moja, right? Oh yeah, I want to take a picture with you." And I was like, "Whoa,
oh, hell yeah, dude.
This is the first
hell
time. Yeah. It's really great."
Yeah, dude. You know, like what I love about it, people come to you and like they appreciate you, like they literally appreciate the things you do, and this is perfect because you as an artist, you're just giving. You want to receive back. You know, it's always good to have that person that loves what you're doing and appreciate what you're doing. That's why we keep doing it. You know.
I wonder, do you get this feeling? Like I know when that happened to me, like so a couple of times, you know. I'm not as popular as you, right? But like something like that scenario that happened where like that guy came to take a picture of me. There's someone as well that I a friend of mine or someone that, and I got to know through the scene as well, that apparently, you know, mentioned that really enjoys my music, and it was their top like one song that they've been listening to in 2023 or something like that. I can't remember which year it was. Nice. So like when I see that stuff, I'm like, Why? What's wrong with you? Why do you listen to my music and why do you enjoy it this much? And why do you like me? I feel like it's an imposter syndrome. I'm like, oh, they're just being nice or something like that. Do you get that sense? Do you feel that sometimes, like, are people just being nice to me or am I actually talented or am I good?
Yeah, of course. You must get that. Why? Exactly. You said it yourself. You do get it. Yeah, 100%. But in the same time, you'll be like, okay, damn.
You have to be confident sometimes.
Yeah, dude, 100%. It's that feeling is amazing itself, you know, the why and oh shit, I'm good, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good exactly. mix. Yeah.
So my last question here, but and then, you know, maybe Mansoor, if you have a question, and I guess, you know, we don't want to keep our guests here for too long, but the I feel like I want to understand, or I want to get in a sense of the solo stuff that you're doing today. What scratch is it itching that's not... Yeah, so, okay, when I look at your projects, I see Wezen, okay? So Wezen, all right, it's the progressive metal, like aggressive kind of type of music that's... Yeah, there's singing, but there's also a lot of growling and shouting. And look, so it's aggressive, it's modern, it's metal, it's all of that. Sarai, it's also modern metal, but it's like more accessible, right? It's more... I don't know what's the term that I can use here, but it's like, yeah, there's accessibility there. It has a bit of a, you know, poppier sensibility. I'm not poppy, but not pop, but yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to get into. People can get into it very easily, and, you know, it's easy. It's really good and catchy, right?
That was the goal for it, yeah.
Exactly. And what's the solo stuff? Where does it fit in all of that? Because I listen to it, and I also get the sense it's very close to a little bit of what Sarai is doing, but... You know, I'm sure. I'm just trying to get to see, like, you as an artist, what scratch is that itching for you? Is that scratching for you?
Yeah, like the solo stuff, I feel like it's more alternative and accessible for, you know, like new people who doesn't listen to a lot of heavy stuff or rock or any like, or people who. Who are not ready to get out of their comfort zone, and maybe you can squeeze that kind of music there for them to enjoy it. It's sometimes slow, it's sometimes poppy, it's sometimes up and down, you know. It's funny, like, I'm like trying to do kind of like the old new metal kind of a vibe. I'm trying to add the nostalgic to it. So people my age and people from what do you call it, from around the community itself, you know, listen to it. When they listen to it, they'll be like, oh, I'm getting the vibe that, from, for example, I get the Linkin Park a lot. I get 30 Seconds to Mars, for example. I got that a couple of times.
Okay,
so yeah, it's very friendly. And like, the main goal is make it relatable, mostly, you know. I would say that's what it's around, pretty much. And you know what's funny? Most of the songs that I release under my solo project, I record them live on the streams, I love to include. Yeah, I love to include my audience with the tempo, the key. Lyrics sometimes, and I like to make them feel like it's their song as well, and it's perfect.
Interesting. So by the time you finish the stream, you would have like a basic track with vocals, with like an idea, like drums, like some kind of drums, and then you just fine tuning after that, like you build it into like a, you produce it into full fledged song. Okay, that's really cool. That's a cool idea. Do you ever feel like someone's going to come back and be like, hey, man, I want credits on this song because I'm the one that told you you should do this with the drum set or you should do that with the drum line?
Expect the unexpected, but that never happened yet. I hope it won't, but yeah, you never know.
Yeah, I feel like it's dangerous. Yeah. I feel like, I don't know if I would do that.
I would be worried. It's a very bold move, I have to say, man. It's a very, very bold move, honestly. Yeah.
Like, usually people suggest, but they don't take like a huge part because you are here. You know, for example, like if I am recording and a person be like, hey, why don't you add this note? You're not going to get exactly what they have in mind because you are here and they're there. You know what I mean?
You know, I actually commend you for doing that. It's you know, it just showcases the level of your music maturity, I guess, is the way I would describe it. Because you know, I feel I would be very intimidated and very self-conscious about sharing something like that and doing it publicly. I feel like writing music and being musical is like a very intimate process for me. And that's why, like, you know, I'd love to start working with a band and like playing with friends and getting into a band and stuff like that. But I'm always wondering, like, if I'm going to be able to do that, because I'm gotten used to so much working on my own and doing stuff in my own cave that, you know, I wonder, you know, again, like, maybe this is like musical immaturity from my side, but from your side, because you've had a lot of experience, let's say, you know, you're no longer green. So you've gotten to the point where, you know what, at this stage, you know, I can get on stream, open up my DAW, like share it on the head and tell people, yalla, you know, tell me what ideas you have and let me, you know, make it into a more communal kind of feeling experience.
That's,
you know,
the goal, actually. Yeah, that's the goal. And it's working good. People are listening more. Yani, like when I was like studying this for a while, and like when I put out Red Flags, which is one of the recent stuff, and I saw how the streams and the viewers and the followers got way higher than the regular stuff, and I'm like, okay, so this is a good study and a good way to work my things, and like again, the more people relate and feel like they took part of it, and the more listeners you will have, the more promoting gonna happen for the track itself. They will share it. For example, guy A, he will go around and be like, yo, I took part in this. Guy C will go and be like, yo, send it to multiple people. And it's a way to put it out there. I'm studying the whole thing. I'm testing out the whole thing to see what's working perfectly. And I think at a stage, I'm at a very good stage with doing all of that at the moment. So, yeah.
I wonder, it's a great idea. If not everybody can do it, obviously, because you have to have like a bit of musical talent to do something like that. But it's a fantastic idea, actually.
I'm just wondering, like, since like you mentioned, you know, we mentioned like we have all these different projects, and you're like, you said you like to make your music very relatable, but like, how do you approach each of these projects from like a creative point of view? Like, do you try to fit that each project with your style, or do you try to, you know, fit in that style? You know what I mean?
Like for example, as I was saying, I've got an album, hopefully it will be released on December. It has 10 tracks on it, and each song doesn't sound the same. They all have different feelings, they all have different vibes, and it's funny how how I got to work with people online on the streams, and a person was like, how about we do a sad vibe? And we did that field, that vibe. It went sad. And the other one, let's do a heavy vibe. We went with it, you know. So let's say every time we stream, sometimes one song takes a whole week or 2 weeks. After we finish, we switch to another one. So what's happening, we get along with it. There is nothing specific that we aim for. We just like start an idea and just get along with it and see where it goes. For example, today I actually was streaming before the podcast today. And the song, we called it Girgi'an. Girgi'an, it's the Ramadan celebrating for the kids, where you give the random candies. We called that song that name. It's not actually going to go with that name, but we're giving it that name because the song started like with the Limp Bizkit, and then it went Oriental. It went Sahara. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It had a weird vibe, but it's working, you know. And like that's how usually it is. But over other than that, sometimes when I'm sitting alone by myself, of course, I get that alone time writing for specific songs, and I don't want to be anyone included. خلاص يصير okay. This one's all me. So I work on it alone, and I do the whole thing, the whole vibe, and all of it. You know.
What's the kind of vibe that people relate to the most? Since that's like what you're trying to achieve.
Subjects that when you think of and you'll be like, yeah, everyone can relate for that with that. For example, I wrote a song called "Time Flies," and it's something that I was going through, and then like everyone else will go through it. You know, when it hits you and you'll be like, I'm here. How did I get here? Yeah. Time flew so fast, you know?
I just had a birthday a week ago, so.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Dude, like, for example, 2024 passed so quick, didn't it?
Yeah.
But that's,
yeah, we
that's
lost fun. Like a Absolutely. Couple of years of our lives, man.
Yeah, dude. It's insane. Time is running. Also,
so it's mainly people relating to concepts, I guess, like themes and things like that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, just ideas and concepts. And I think that they mostly go through it.
Awesome. طيب, I want to ask, you know, before we wrap this up, before we wrap the episode, I want to ask one question. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give us as the Anti-Shuffle podcast in order to improve our content and improve our setup and improve the way we execute things? What would you say is the things, you know, let's say, yeah, you know, like as an up and coming podcast, that's, you know, trying to gain traction, become like a niche alternative rock metal podcast for the region. What should we do? What's the first thing?
All right, first, easy. Download TikTok.
You know what's funny? We have a TikTok account.
Be cringy. That's
we have
what
a TikTok
saying.
Account.
He's saying be cringy. Oh my God. You have to be cringy.
Type Mansoor. Mansoor, listen, man. You're gonna have to do it.
Yeah. Okay. I can. I'll try to be cringy for you for the people. If that's what the people want.
Yeah, dude. Also, since that the content is in English, try to put in Arabic. What do you call it? Subtitles.
Okay. Yeah. This is one of the things that we've been talking a lot about. Actually, whether into your content, is it mainly delivered in English or in Arabic?
Mine, both actually.
Both. This is an area that we've been talking about a lot. Whether deciding on how should we start progressing. And, you know, switching our content and making it, you know, at least something in between, you know, where it's like being delivered in both.
It should be in between, because you want to aim for international and for the region, you know, and like the goal should be international more than the region itself. You know, you want to reach the far ahead than the closer, because usually the region will not give a falafel until the far away will hear about you and they talk about you, and then the region, oh, this guy is with us, he's part of us, you know. Usually that's how it is.
You know, it's funny you say this. I saw the other day a interview with Suicide that hip-hop band Suicide Boys Suicide Boys they talked about that. They said,
100%.
Yeah, they said, you know, listen, you know, the way we got popular is that we focus on the international scene. I don't know how they did it. And honestly, like, it would be great to know how you do that, how you focus on get popularity internationally. But what they said was, we focus on getting popular internationally because the local scene and the local homeboys, the people, for some reason, they just don't like supporting their local, you know,
until
you're successful. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and until you succeed, this is when they'll be like, hey, we know you. Bro, yes. I did locally acting from 2012 to 2016, yeah? I started showing up on Kuwait TV, Abu Dhabi TV, and random, like, what's it called? TV channels from Al Khalij. Yeah, I've got people calling me from high school, people I've never heard from some like ages ago, you know, and they're like, hey, we saw you on TV, congrats on the success, what's it called, let's hang out sometimes. I'm like, yeah, sure, you know.
Wow.
But yeah,
everybody wants to be your friend now.
Yeah, everyone wants to be your friend when you succeed. But yeah, you always remember the OGs, like the ones who always, like, there is always that person when they that one person that tells you that one word, and it will get stuck with you until the end. You will remember that person for saying that, and they might think it's just a word, but they have no idea how much it means to you. It's crazy. Always, you know your homies, على قولتهم. Yeah. Exactly. And speaking of that, even Corey Taylor from Slipknot, that's why he said about the regional stuff. I think he's from Ohio or something. But yeah.
He's from Iowa. Like, isn't he from Iowa?
Yeah, he's from, exactly. From Iowa. He said something about going to another state and they made it big than their own state. So it's not even, oh yeah, even asking Alexandria, they're like, we made it out of UK. Asking Alexandria, they made it big in the US than UK itself, you know? And then they went back to the UK. And
I just realized you telling me this, I never knew that they were based from the UK.
Dude, asking Alexandria started in Dubai. Do you know that?
No. Oof.
Yep.
How did that? I know what I remember asking Alexandria started in an MTV show or something like that, right? There was an MTV show
The Bang guy, the guitarist who left already the band for some reason, he was living in Dubai.
Oof.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Exactly. And then the band got big. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, dude.
All right.
Yeah.
Abzi, this has been fantastic.
Same wise.
So,
hell yeah.
Why don't you wrap it? Let's wrap this up by telling us what is something that you want to promote, anything that you want to promote, anybody that you want to talk about, anything that you have coming up now, anything that you have, tell us, what is it?
Wazin is dropping an EP with four songs. Yeah, in October. I'm releasing an album with 10 tracks in December, hopefully. Shows with Dusk, hopefully gonna happen October, November, December.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it for this year. Stay tuned and keep on rocking. Let's see what 2025 gonna bring us. Looking
busy
forward
bee,
to
busy
it.
Busy bee. Abzi is a busy man. Like I said, one of the most hardworking people in the scene.
Cheers.
All right, guys. It was great having you, Abzi. I really thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And I hope you enjoyed it too. We always like to ask our guests, how would you rate this episode? Abzi?
Yes, sir.
Abzi, did we lose you? Abzi, we lost you.
Mansoor, can you hear him?
I can hear you. I can hear
it's
you both.
It's glitching.
Okay. Well, let's do that. Let's do that again.
It's glitching for both of you.
Abzi, can you hear me now?
Is it better now?
I cannot hear you guys.
Oops, we can hear you. Hello, hello.
Yo, can you Abzi? Guys hear me now?
Yeah, yes. I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Hear
you.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, okay.
Let's do this one more time, okay?
All right.
All right, Abzi. So before we let you go, there's always a question that we'd like to ask our guests as our second guest. How would you rate this episode? How would you rate your experience?
Whoa, 10 out of 10, dude. So far, I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Oh, awesome, man.
My favorite podcast so far. I had an amazing time. I'm looking forward to be here again.
Actually, yes, for sure. We will have you again when you have for the release, anything that comes up, any kind of release or whatever, we'd love to have you back and to talk about any kind of upcoming release. But that's high praise. I don't know if you're saying it just to be nice. I don't, this is the part of me that's being...
No, you guys made my day. I really enjoyed it.
Voila, we too.
No, man, we really appreciate it. I mean, we look forward to hearing, man, all of your upcoming releases and seeing you with Dusk and maybe tour the region again. Yeah, it looks sounds exciting, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Abzi.
Thank you.
We are out.